right, good afternoon, everyone. I'm going to be preaching towards the second installment of our series called Enact or Enact, kumbaga, okay? And this series is basically all about us grasping or understanding the mission of Every Nation Ministries, okay? That's the overarching ministry that Victory is a part of. Now, last week, we talked about church, and this week, we'll be talking on the second installment about compassion or social responsibility. But before we get to any of that sa atong topic na to for this afternoon, let me just show to you what exactly is the mission of Every Nation Ministries for us to have an understanding of why we're having this series, okay? Can we just flash that picture? This is basically the mission of Every Nation Ministries, okay? It says there, Every Nation exists to honor God by establishing Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered, and socially responsible churches and campus ministries in every nation. And this series, again, is about us grasping or understanding that mission, that it's deeply rooted in the Word of God. Okay, and that's what we're going to look at in the next few weeks. Okay, now this week again we'll be talking about social responsibility, or in other words, compassion. And I don't know about you, but being socially responsible. Okay, before we get to the topic, I think it's important for us to have an understanding unsa ang social responsibility, or what does it look like. All right, so basically, being socially responsible or social responsibility basically means that someone, okay, an individual or an organization, okay, is obliged to do what is right for the benefit for the society at large. In other words, we as a people have an obligation to do what's right for society at large. That's what basically means when we mean social responsibility. Okay. Now, speaking of also of social responsibility, right? I don't know about you, but it's somehow a lot of celebrities have also caught on to this vision or to this movement, kumbaga, of being socially responsible. All right, like for example, stars right here, these celebrities right here. Maybe some of you know them, okay, or maybe you know other celebrities who are into charity, kumbaga, or humanitarian efforts. All right, sina Brad Pitt, and Angelina Jolie, okay, and even these people, huh? Kisa to, see? Oh, si Paul Walker, okay, really? Okay, si Paul Walker daw, okay, that guy from Fast and Furious 7, okay? These guys are known for doing humanitarian efforts, making them socially responsible. And not just celebrities, okay, but there are even movies that talks about being socially responsible or doing what is right at that certain situation for the good of the society, okay? For example, usually movies about being rescued, okay, or rescuing someone like Captain Phillips, or rescuing a lost person, okay? Schindler's List talks about oppression during the World War II, okay? Yung mga Jews nga give oppressed sa Germany. And there's a new movie coming up this year. It's called The Martian, okay? It's about rescuing an astronaut stranded in Mars, okay? So basically, I'm sharing those movies because they all deal with our drive to help one another, okay? To be socially responsible. Those movies show that. But as much as we have those shows, as much as we have celebrities fighting for humanitarian efforts or charitable acts, how many of you would relate or siguro honestly say to yourself na sometimes we don't feel compassionate to others? But how many of you would really admit to yourself that sometimes we just don't care what others feel or what others are going through? Sometimes, okay lang, wala kay care kayo. Maybe you see some certain issues on Facebook, on online, sa media, on TV, and maybe sometimes you just shrug it off. Okay, you just scroll down on your Facebook account. Maybe you do a like, you do a share, okay? But most of the time, sometimes our hearts become hardened and we just don't want to do anything. Or we feel like, man, I have more pressing concerns. Okay, how much more, how could I possibly give time and energy to help others kung ako naman dagan kong ginahandle? Okay, a lot of us have those mindsets, and maybe for some of us here today, we have no idea nga we should be socially responsible. Maybe for some of us, first time na to makadungo nga, ay, kailangan din may mo socially responsible? Kailangan din mutabang sa abang tao? Maybe it's the first time for us hearing these things, okay? Okay, all those mindsets, okay, we're gonna try and deal those mindsets by looking into the book of Acts, okay? That's why it's called EN Act, by the way, because we're gonna be reading through scriptures or passages in the book of Acts, looking at how the first church or the earliest church was, and you know, looking at the life that they embodied, kumbaga. This week, all right, I'll be diving more into specifically what kind of church they were, okay? Being a church known for their compassion, and that's what we're going to look at. Now, a couple of things before we go through the book of Acts. All right, a couple of things before we read the passages of Acts and see just what kind of church the first church was. And that's two things rather, okay, just two things. First, we need to understand that the God we are worshiping, the God we are coming to worship every Sunday, is a compassionate God. All right? Our God is a compassionate God, right? We need to understand that He is compassionate, because before we go out there, okay, start being socially responsible, start being compassionate, we need to understand first that the God who started all is compassionate Himself. Okay? And the Bible is very clear on that, okay? Over 50 times in the Bible, the word needy is shown. Right? Just think about it. In the Bible, about 50 times the word needy, which means someone who is poor, lacking something, is mentioned in the Bible. That gives you a picture of how much God values or loves or is compassionate towards people who are needy. Not only that, but in the Bible, over 300 verses are talking about God's concern for the poor and the people suffering social injustice. Imagine that, mga 300 verses that talks about God being concerned towards others. That's how compassionate He is. And in fact, I'm just going to cite certain examples here from the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, right, during that time when the Israelites were wandering in the desert, okay? How many of you are familiar with that story? To nag-wander sa desert, okay? When they were wandering in the desert for 40 years, okay? A journey that supposedly it would only take them like 2 weeks or so. But it ended up being 40 years because of their disobedience, okay? During this time, God was so compassionate to them, because even though, like what Pastor JD was sharing a while ago, even though Israel, the nation of Israel kept complaining to God, disobeying God, kept rebelling to God, kept grumbling to God, even though they were doing so, every time that they would ask God for forgiveness, God would give it to them. God was so patient with them. I mean, di ba, sometimes kita, kung natay kaila nga, si Gamberg would always do the same thing again and again. Sometimes, muntad nagpasensya, di ba? Okay, whom you have, you know, friends like that, Gamberg, asa muka, uy, nanabog ka, nanabog yung batasan, okay? But if we have people like that in our lives, a lot of times we would give up easily. But God was not like that towards His people, towards Israel. No matter how many times they were hard, even though they were so hard-headed at times, He was so compassionate towards them that He would just give out, okay, whatever they need, but He would help them from one problem to the next. And whenever the people of Israel would cry out to God, they would say that, "Oh Lord, You are a compassionate God." They would call Him compassionate because they knew firsthand how compassionate He was. Okay? God is compassionate. Now in the New Testament naman, there's this story about Jesus wherein He goes around, starts healing people, and He sees a crowd. And for us to have an understanding of what happens, let me just read to you these verses. Okay? In Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 to 36, says there, "And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction." Because He went around helping people wherever He went. And then, in verse 36, okay, "And when He saw the crowds, He had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." So when Jesus went around and He saw the crowds, He had such compassion for them. Now, for us to understand the gravity nga kung unsa ka passionate si Jesus at this time, we need first to know na compassion here, it doesn't just talk about a feeling. But a lot of times, we view compassion as just pitying someone, being sorry for someone, but it's more than just emotions lang, okay? Because the Greek word for compassion here, it comes from this word, okay? I know, medyo libog siya, okay? Okay, but don't worry, that's not spag in shomai, okay? That, okay, as hard as it is to read, it's plug nisomai, okay? And it means that, okay, to be moved as to one's bowels, okay, meaning intestines. You see, back in their time, okay, they believed na ang love, emotions, okay, all those feelings, it's all placed in the intestines. Kita karon, diba, we believe basta love, heart dyan na, usap, mga puso dyan na kabahin, broken-hearted, that's why we have terms like that, mga broken-hearted and all that. But during their times, they didn't care about the heart. It was all about the intestines. So when you say someone is being emotional, it's kind of like this. It's like being moved by your bowels, by your intestines. In other words, picture this. When you say someone is compassionate or is feeling compassion towards someone, it's kind of like, imagine that experience you have na kailangan ka mag-CR. Alam mo, anak, for example, nag-study ka, nakigibuhat ra, and suddenly that unexpected feeling comes. Remember, nagkitaglain imong tiyan. Okay, kung nai theme song pa, ang theme song siguro is, man, I can't fight this feeling any longer. Okay, naglain imong tiyan, di mo mapunggan, you try to hold it, but di dyan sa kaya, so you ran to the closest CR that you could find. But basically, because you were moved by your intestines, you got out of your chair and you ran towards the next CR. That's what we mean by having compassion, okay? You're moved to the point that you have to do something. You're moved that it compels you to act, to do something. Because, kind of like itong CR experience, because of that, kailangan na nakibuhaton. When you try to hold it, kasi nakatry ninyo, I hold ninyo. Diba? Kabam! Maglahi ang itabo kung itry hold ninyo. Okay? Boom! Okay? Magsawa siya kung i-hold ninyo siya. Okay? But this is what we mean by compassion. When Jesus saw the crowds, He was moved so much that He couldn't contain it. He had to do something. That's why He went around preaching, teaching, healing everyone that he could find. That's what we mean by compassion. Right? And that's how compassionate God is. That He just can't contain it. He will do something when He is compassionate. Right? Our God is compassionate. Tim Keller says, okay, here in his quote, from the ancient times, the God of the Bible stood out from the gods of all other religions as a God on the side of the powerless and of justice for the poor. From the Old Testament down to the New Testament, from Genesis to Revelations, when you read your Bible, you would come to understand that our God is a compassionate God. And that's the God that we worship. Aren't you thankful that our God is a compassionate God? That He is patient with you, even though sometimes you make the same mistakes again and again. Even though, like what JD said a while ago, sometimes we draw away from Him, we stray away from Him, but He is so patient and compassionate towards us. That's the kind of God that we worship. Second thing we need to understand is that social responsibility and doing acts of compassion have always been part of church life. When we say that a church has to be socially responsible, this isn't something new. This isn't now something we made up on our own lang. But as we'll further get to see in the book of Acts, okay, if you look at history, you would find story after story of churches, missionaries, or Christians being socially responsible. From the first church up to now, you would come stories upon stories of people being socially responsible. In fact, okay, in the earliest the days of the church, okay, sa panahon pa sa Romans, Greeks, and all that, whenever they would see someone helping the poor, let's say if I would go to Blaze here right now and I'm going to help him, food, clothing, whatever, if someone would see me, that person would automatically think na, ay, Kristiyano ning tawhana ning kaning tabang. Because back then, it was so radical to see someone being compassionate to others. Back then, it wasn't normal to see people helping out the poor. Back then, ang poor, bahala sila kung kanya-kanya sila diskarte. To see someone actually doing something, give food, give clothes to another person in need, was something so radical to them that they knew for a fact that the people who were doing it were most likely Christians. That's how known the early church was about being compassionate. And they weren't just compassionate towards their fellow Jews or fellow Christians rather, not just among themselves, but okay, the story says that they would even sometimes adopt or take in, okay, babies abandoned by people. Okay, babies abandoned by anyone, not just Christians, but anyone. Kung makita sa bata ang abandoned, they would take in that child and help that child. That's how compassionate they were. Not just towards them among themselves, but towards other people as well. And in the early church, they had this list called matriculum. Okay? When we say matriculum, it's basically a list, okay, of people who are in need. Okay, poor people, people who need something, and every church would have that list so that they knew whom they would help. Okay? And that's how serious they were about being socially responsible. Nga nasa lista kung kisa tabangon nila. Okay? That's why social responsibility has always been a part of a church life. In other words, okay, if we consider ourselves part of a church, then we should be socially responsible. All of us are called to be socially responsible. If you look at history, in fact, you would see that many establishments, okay, hospitals, orphanages, schools, okay, these things were built or established by churches, missionaries, or other Christians. Okay? In fact, here, okay, Dumaguete alone, okay? If you're from Siliman, anyone here was a Silimanian, student, graduate, okay, belated happy 114th pala, okay? If you're a Seliman, you are reaping the benefits of an institution established by Christian philanthropists and missionaries. Okay? That church was established because someone, okay, a philanthropist, okay, of course, is Seliman, okay, he had the heart to make a school for young Filipino boys, okay? Kasi boys pa at that time pwede mag-study. But basically, you would come to see the heart of these people wanting to be socially responsible, that they would start even making institution, establishing institution like orphanages again and hospitals, okay? And another one, this guy, okay? This guy, I know, wala siya picture, wala siya selfie, kay karanin siya kayo na, okay? Back in the 1800s, okay? This guy's name is William Wilberforce. Now, maybe some of you know him, okay? Or, this guy was known as the person who championed against slavery. Okay? Back in about 200 years or so, slavery was normal in the world, okay? America had slaves, Britain had slaves, okay? But this guy, William Wilberforce, stood up, okay? And proclaimed his stance, okay? His stand against slavery, okay? In fact, it took him about 20 years to fight for the end of slavery in his country, Britain. And take note, okay? After just a few days before he died, na-achieved niya ang goal niya, which was to end slavery in his country. And when it was finally declared that slavery would be abolished in Britain, over 800,000 slaves, okay, in Britain were set free. All because of the work of this guy who pioneered, who championed anti-slavery. And because of him, that effect trickled down to America. Nawala po ng slavery sa America. Okay? William Wilberforce was the guy who championed that, okay? That's why you have the song Amazing Grace. Okay? It's actually loosely connected to his life, okay? Or written by him pala rather, okay? Okay? Amazing Grace. Okay? The problem with us today, okay, is that unlike the people in history or the people of the early church, sometimes we become a people so caught up lang with our own needs, so caught up with our own problems, with our own selves, that sometimes we've dubbed or called ourselves a me generation. Okay? Sometimes some people have labeled this society a me generation or a selfie generation. Sometimes we're more concerned with the likes that we get. We're more concerned with the picture that we're going to take on a certain place. Sometimes we're so concerned about what we're going to do, what we need, but hardly sometimes we ever give a thought about other people. When was the last time we ever prayed to someone or prayed up about something kang someone? When was the last time we encouraged someone? When was the last time we gave something to someone just for the sake of ganang mo hatag niya? When was the last time we cared for someone else? Okay? May this be a reminder for us na being socially responsible, okay, is something that we are all called to do. As part of a church, we are all called to be socially responsible. May we not be a me generation. May it stop us. May we be a church that will counterculture this current trend of being a me lang. Okay? May we be just like the first church who was known for their compassion. Now, when people look at you, they would say, ah, kintawahan ni, I know nga, this person is known for helping out other people. May we be someone like that. Now, with those two things, okay, knowing that our God is a compassionate God and that social responsibility is part of the church life, okay, ever since pa, okay, now we are ready to dive into the book of Acts and see just how were they socially responsible. Okay? We've discussed now that they are socially responsible. Now, we're going to look at how they did it. What was their life like being socially responsible? And let me read to you these verses from Acts 4, verse 32 to 36, or 35 rather. Okay? It says there, "Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. Okay? And with great power, the apostles were given their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had seen." So first thing we need to understand or learn or on how the early church was socially responsible is that firstly, they shared the gospel. Okay? To be socially responsible, okay, they shared the gospel. Now, why does it count as being socially responsible? Okay? I thought being socially responsible was giving something to people, okay? Food, clothing, gamit, books. I thought inanang socially responsible lang. Yes, okay, it's also important for us to meet the physical needs of people. It's also important or madakog impact po when we give physical things to people like ito, books, food, clothing. Those things are also important. But equal important, or in fact even more important, is meeting the spiritual needs of people. You see, poverty is not just, you know, lacking something. When you say someone is poor, poverty is not just not having enough money, not having enough food, not having enough clothes or whatever possessions. Poverty is first and foremost a spiritual condition. Poverty is not just lacking something, but it's a condition, a spiritual condition. Kasi naman, diba, if poverty was simply just lacking something, then there would be no longer any poverty in the world if all we need to do was give and give people material things. And yet, why is it that even now there is still poverty in the world? And that's because the root problem of poverty is not lacking money or any material lang, but the root problem is a three-letter word called sin. Okay, underneath the problem of poverty is an underlying issue. It's kind of like when you go to hospital, tapos magpa-diagnose kag doctor, "Doc, init kayo ang paminaw na ako," or "Lain ang paminaw." Okay? The doctor won't just give you a medicine right away to address something on the surface. He or she will try to see, okay, what's the underlying cause? Unsay naka-cause jud ani ba? Unsay main problema nimo? Okay, he or she will diagnose you to see what really is your problem. Okay? And it's the same thing with poverty. There is an underlying cause or reason why there is poverty, and that is sin. Sin and entering our world. And why is it that we need the gospel? Because the gospel is the solution to the sin problem. Okay? Because sin is not a material or physical problem. It takes something that's not material or physical to deal with it as well. And that's where the gospel comes in. Now, if you're wondering, what is the gospel? Okay, what's the gospel ba? The gospel is basically this. Okay, let me just read to you briefly, okay, a summary of the gospel. The gospel, okay, is the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died in our place. Okay? 3 days later, he rose again from the dead, proving that he is the Son of God and offering the gift of salvation and forgiveness of sins to anyone who repents and believes in him. In other words, the gospel is essentially a message, okay? A message, a good news that something amazing, great, okay, happened in the past. And this message is a message of hope, love, and grace. Kanina, we were singing a while ago about atong grace changes everything. You remember those lyrics, the chorus? There's no sin too great. There's no pain too deep. The cross declares that it is done. The gospel is basically that, proclaiming that message. If you preach this to someone who is guilt-stricken over something he did in the past, or who's ashamed about something he committed in the past, the gospel tells that person that there is no shame too real, that his love will not heal. The gospel tells that person that, you know what? Whatever sin it may be, it has been forgiven on the cross. Your sin has been dealt with. It tells the person who is depressed, hopeless, but there is hope that things can get better because Christ died and has given us a new life. This message is a message of hope for people who are struggling, for people who are thinking, "Lord, asa ang breakthrough nako." This is that message. When you preach the gospel to someone, it's not just doing a church thing. It's not a religious thing lang. Okay, but it is a life-changing message that will greatly change the direction of a person's life. When the gospel is preached to someone, that someone will not remain the same. Maybe you won't see it right away, but the path of that person's life will drastically alter. Okay, let me share you some, a testimony here, okay? Let me just show the picture of Lade. This is Lade, okay? And along with me and Haya, she was one of our classmates in the School of Campus Ministry. That's where we were trained to be campus missionaries. And just a brief background, Lade, she comes from Luzon in Lipa, and she lives in a simple barangay lang, okay? She's a provinciana, kumbaga, okay? She's a very simple lady, okay? She grew up in a very simple home, a very simple place. But the thing about her is that when you look at her, wala joy, hindi mo matel na simple ra yung background. In fact, she's actually a scholar as well, meaning she had to find ways just to go to school, okay? But when you look at her, there's not a single trace of her past, kumbaga. There's not a single trace of her life or what her background was. Because all you could see in her life is the gospel, okay, radically changing her life. Because when she was a high school student, she got reached out, she got discipled, with someone preached the gospel to her life. And it drastically changed the direction of her life. And this isn't to brag or anything, but just to show just how much God can prosper, how much God can prosper us, how much God can prosper us when we've received the gospel. See, like that, when we were in school with Haya, okay, we noticed that, man, even if simple lang background niya, scholar siya when she was growing up, you know what? She had a MacBook Air, okay? She had an iPad with her, she had an iPhone with her, she had all these things with her. And this isn't to brag or anything, but to show a testimony that, you know what? When you have God with you, you know what? Prosperity is not an issue. And you can just, man, there's you can just see in your life stories upon stories of God's faithfulness in your life. And you know what? The amazing thing pa ito ba? About 2 months ago, okay, she recently got married about 2 months ago to her husband, okay? And here's the thing. She got married and no less than, okay, nowhere else than Hawaii. Okay? Amazing, diba? She got married in Hawaii. We're talking about a simple girl born in a barangay in Lipa, okay? And that's in Batangas, by the way. Ended up marrying someone, okay? That governor, his name is Sean, okay? In Hawaii. And it wouldn't have happened if she wasn't reached out, preached by the gospel. Her life would not have drastically changed if no one did it to her. That's the power of the gospel. It has the power to change a person's life. And you know what the good thing is? If you're here today and you consider yourself a Christian, if you're here today and you claim to love God, you worship God, the good thing is you have the access to this life-changing message. You have the access to change a person's life. The good thing is we all have that message with us that we can bring about and preach it to someone. We can all be used by God to make an impact in the life of a person. Yes, it's good at what happened to the life of that Lade, but then it happened to us. It can happen to the people around you, to your friends, your classmates, your workmates, your relatives. Preach to them the gospel and see what God is going to do in their life. It will drastically change them. Okay? But it will drastically change them. And that's why you need to preach the gospel. Second thing that the early church did was that they shared resources. Okay? To be socially responsible, they shared resources. This is the, basically the part na they gave physical needs. Okay? But they met the physical needs of the people around them. All right? In verse 34 rather, it says, there was not a needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses, sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. In other words, this church, if they would see someone who was in need, they would do what they could to help that person. That this church was known to be generous, to help one another. And then what we can learn from this church is that this church was a group of people who were willing to give out of the abundance of their heart. They were cheerful givers. This wasn't like communism. Now, you know what? They were forced. Where communism, people are forced to give up what they have para equal tanan. Here in the first church, they were willing to give what they have, whatever amount it was, however big it was, or how small it was, out of their abundance of their heart to help out their fellow men. That was the kind of church that they were. Okay? They were willing to give. The problem with us sometimes is that a lot of times we wait until we become so prosperous until we're willing to give. A lot of times we wait until, remember, Tom, wala pa kayo kwarta karon. Tom, wala pa kayo mahatag kayo karon. Una siguro pag madato na ko. A lot of times we have that mindset na, Lord, I'm going to give, I'm going to help people, I'm going to be generous or socially responsible. But Lord, padatuwas ako, Lord. Lord, give me lots of stuff sa Lord. But you know what? We don't have to wait until that time comes. We don't have to wait until we're so rich na, so super rich na. In fact, the early church here gives us a picture that you don't have to wait until you're rich to give to the poor or to give to the needy. You can be a blessing right then and then, or right now, kumbaga. You can be a blessing to others. You can give something out to others. But when you say you give something to other people, it doesn't have to be grand. It doesn't have to be super expensive or extravagant. Just be a blessing. Give something, something to others. Eto, for us to understand just how blessed we are compared to other people. There was an international survey conducted about 2 years ago, and it basically shows us how blessed we are compared to millions of people around the world. And I will tell you, man, it will shock you. Kani, how many of you can say that you have food at home? Okay, you have ref, na may pagkaon, snacks at least. Or kani, at least man lang makakaon mo og dinner karong gabi. Okay, what's next? But I think that's all of us. Okay, Kenny, how many of you have extra clothes? Okay, ladies, you have extra clothes, right? You have closets and closets of extra clothes, siguro, okay? Or closets and closets and drawers of extra shoes. Okay. How many of you have a home or a house, okay? Or at least boarding house. You have a place to stay, dormitory, or nakipuyo mo sa friend din niyo, a place that you can rest for the time, okay? Or a home or a house. But I think all of us have that naman eh, di ba? Here's the thing. If you have any of those, okay? Food, clothing, house, then you are richer than 75% of the world's population. Imagine that. Over 75% of the world don't have enough food, water, clothes, and a house to live in. But we are blessed to have all three of those. Sometimes we're so used to what we have now, we don't think now we're blessed until we lose those things. The survey goes on to share here nga, ito. Kani, who among you have spare change with you? At least na mo'y spare change. Na mo'y barya. Okay, at least malang singko mo, okay? Or at least money in the bank. Ito, if you have money with you, then you are among the 8% of the world's wealthy. You're among the 8% of the world who has money because the rest of the world, they don't have money. Or they are severely in lack. Okay? You're among the 8%. Ito pa, if you have not experienced war, torture, or prison, if never experienced any of those, then you are better off than the 500 million people in the world who are experiencing those things. Imagine, 500 million people in the world are experiencing war, or famine, okay, imprisonment, and torture. And lastly, who among you can read and write? Read, at least, diba? Who among you can make a post on Facebook, make a tweet, make a rant on your social media, okay? Or at least read malang, okay? Ito, if you can read, then you are better off than the 3 billion people who are unable to read. Imagine that. 3 billion people can't do what you can. Can't do what you know, but you can just do every day of your life. Sometimes we take for granted what we have. But take note, over 3 billion people can't read or maybe even can't write. That's how blessed we are. Can you still say na dili ka blessed or dili ka fortunate? Doesn't that make you realize, man, yan na yung ka blessed diay, yan na yung ka fortunate diay? See, a lot of times, we have this mindset na, Lord, inaani naman ako, I grew up with this kind of background. My family is not well-known. My family is not rich. I came from a simple hometown. I did not graduate from a famous school. I'm not working at a big company. A lot of times, we have all those excuses and mindsets that we forget just how blessed we really are compared even to other people. And the Bible says that we are blessed so that we can be a blessing to others. Okay, it says here in 2 Corinthians okay, chapter 9, verse 11, that you will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. Okay, we will be blessed okay, so that we will all the more be a blessing to others. Okay, the more you step out, bless others, the more you step out, be socially responsible, give to the poor or help out the poor, then all the more God will bless and prosper you. I mean, I know this friend, and I don't know if you can relate to this. Na may mga friends na, kasi mga yung pagkaon sa ila, then kanon nila ang last bite. Oi, bro, pa rin mga yung fruit bowl. Wala na, bro. Sorry, kayo. Or siguro, like there was one time I was asking, I think coffee float or basta something mainong to nga. Bro, pa rin mga yung, bro, uhaw kayo. Yung i-blow ang soda. Oh, ngayon ka. Ano na lang ko. How many friends like that? Nga, kanang kabalo mo nga, medyo dalo lang sila. How many of you can relate to that? Na ko'y friend kay Nashna. I believe that we all have friends like that. But you know what? The amazing thing about my friend is that yes, Nashna before, but he didn't stay that way. Right now, he's becoming more generous than I ever thought he would. Okay? Na surprise ganay ko nga. Sometimes, manglibre siya og kape, manglibre siya pan, snacks. These are not extravagant things. These are simple things. But these are all things that we can all do. All things that we can do to other people. Be socially responsible. Be generous towards one another. Okay, my friend was like that. Okay, simple lang ibot niya. He just tried doing it little by little. At first, it felt like forced. Okay, nag-lisod ba siya? But then, it became more natural sa iya. And we all can do like, and all can be like that. If you're here today and you can sing, Lord, if you can say to yourself, medyo selfish ko. Okay. And honestly, sometimes I even catch myself that if you're here today and you sometimes catch yourself thinking that selfish kay ko or murag dili ko as caring compared to other people, you know what? The good thing is we can learn to be compassionate. We can learn to be selfless and be caring towards one another. Okay? The good news is, again, the gospel is there to change our lives. Now, let me just share some stories about being socially responsible, okay? Firstly, when I was in Vietnam, kaniya, okay? When I was in Vietnam, I joined last year a 10-day mission trip to Vietnam. And you know what? The one thing I realized that one of the best ways for you to be a blessing when you go to other nations is teaching them English, okay? Hey, for those of you who are able to speak English, guess what? You are most likely better than most of them in the other nations. You see, what here, okay, we don't feel like we're the best at English, but we went to Vietnam and started talking to them. We feel like, man, we're the best English speakers out here, okay? I mean, there were times now when I would talk to them, and I'm like, hi, can I have a glass of water? And like, huh? What? And I was like, water. Ah, water. Oh, yeah, water. I'm like, okay. And there's another time, I'm like, mayon ko nga, hey, can we, let's have a picture, okay? Let's take a picture together. And he was like, what picture? I'm like, niya ko, picture. Okay, picture, let's have picture. I mean, you would see nga, man, that the English that you take for granted, the English that sometimes binohan pa kasi mo mga classmates ni mo, mga friends ni mo, guess what? That can be a source of blessing to the people in other nations. Even as simple as that. Okay? Imagine, simple as that, English, what you've learned, you can use that to be a blessing to others. Okay? Last year, or I think it was 2 years ago, we sent a team to Samar, okay, for medical missions, okay? When Typhoon Yolanda came and hit the nation, we assembled a team and sent them to Samar for medical missions. And I think Patrick was there among them. And here's the thing, okay? They didn't bring, okay, an enormous amount of relief goods whatsoever. But all of these guys, what they had in common was that most, if not all of them, were medically trained. So, or at least studying man lang, okay? They were nurses, physical therapists, man mag-medtech ba, or nag-work sa hospital. I mean, these guys all at least had knowledge on medicine. And with that knowledge, with those skills, they went to Samar and became a blessing to the people, providing healthcare for them. I mean, all they did was use whatever they had. Okay, what can we do? Okay, we're medically inclined. Okay, let's go there. Let's help them out because a lot of them are injured or sick or have illnesses. And that's what they did, okay? And my point in sharing that is that we all have skills. We all have talents that we can use to help out other people. Okay, again, it's not just about giving enormous amounts of money, but my point is we all have something that we can share to other people. May it be our skills, our knowledge, okay? There are a bunch of other stuff that we can share as well. Maybe you have old clothes at home, mga clothes na gipang cobwebs na diha, books na gi-store pa niyo since grade school pa mo, okay? Or whatever those things are, you can all give them and share to them. Another story I want to share is this guy, Pastor Ferdy Cabiling, is one of our pastors in Manila, and maybe you saw him in the news or read an article about him on Facebook. What he's doing, I think this is the second day na yata, is that he'll be running from the southernmost tip of Mindanao up to the northernmost tip of Luzon. Basically, he'll be a marathon throughout the Philippines. Okay, he'll be running a total of, he'll be running 50 kilometers per day for about 50 days. And he'll do it at the age of 50. So 50, okay? Kabantay mo? Okay, and he's doing that marathon, okay? Why? Because he's raising financial support. He's raising money for the benefit of about 250 scholars. For the benefit of 250 students. Because he's doing that for a foundation called Real Life, okay? Real Life is the organization that's committed to providing scholarship for students, okay? Poor and impoverished students, giving them a hope of studying. And Pastor Ferdy is doing that. Okay? He's doing a marathon. He's doing what he can to raise money to give scholarships to students, okay? With his love for the sport of marathon, he's using it to help the poor and the needy. Again, all of us have something we could give, just like this guy. Okay? He's giving his sport. He's using his sport as a way to bless other people. Ask yourself, what can you give to others? What skills? What things? Okay, what experiences? What can you give? We all have something we could give. there's always something we can do to be socially responsible. Okay? Say for example, okay, eto, I'm gonna say it now, okay? Happen na ang election. Kani, being socially responsible could mean registering for the elections. Doing your research. Kung kinsa ba yung dapat botohon ninyo, kamunay bahala, kinsa na, okay? Just do your research. Who would it be? Vote, register. That is our social obligation to put the right people into office. Doing the right thing, okay? Being socially responsible could be reporting a crime that you saw. Knowing something that's bad, okay? That's being socially responsible. All those things. So there's always something that we could do. Wherever you are right now, whatever your season, state, okay, your status is, God has something for you. God can use you for something. You can be socially responsible wherever, whatever your context is right now. Whether you're a student, a single, or you're a young professional, or you're married right now, whatever it is, you can do something to be socially responsible. Hey, kanina I was talking about William Wilberforce. He started out in his 20s. He kept doing so until he was like what, 40s, 50s back. Hey, meaning there's no age limit, okay, or age requirement to be socially responsible or to be compassionate towards others. We can all do it. Now as I wrap this up, as I call on the keyboardist, let me just wrap this up by saying that again, okay, the reason why we ought to be compassionate or be socially responsible to others, it was because first and foremost, we love, we serve, we worship a God who is compassionate. The very number one reason why we're doing all of these things is because the God that we love or we worship is compassionate. I mean, how can we not love other people? How can we not weep, care for other people if the God that we worship is a God whose heart is for other people? I mean, the measurement of how much you love God will be measured on how much you love people. You cannot say to God, God, I love you, tapos you don't love people. That's impossible. Because the God that we worship is, again, a God who is compassionate, who loves people so much. So much so that he was willing to give up his one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. So much so that he was so patient with us, even though we fail him time and time again, okay, he gave us chances. He would forgive us time and time again. Maybe you wondered, you know what? Why doesn't God just wipe away all the suffering so that there will be no more poor, no more needy? Wipe away the oppressors. Yes, God can do that. But here's the thing. Who among you at a certain time of your life had ever made problems for someone? Who am you at a certain time of your life, you've hurt someone, you oppressed someone, you bullied someone, you know, you attacked someone. Who am you've caused pain to someone? Whether it's your parents, friends, relatives. I believe that's all of us. And you know what? At that very moment, at the worst moment of our lives, God was being compassionate towards us. He was being patient towards us. That's the kind of God that we worship. At that very moment, man, he was still so compassionate and patient towards us that he didn't give up on us. Church, my hope and my prayer is that as we wrap up this installment about compassion, may it cause us to move our hearts. When we look out there in the world, when we see articles on Facebook, when we read the news, maybe not have hearts of stone and we just shrug off those things. When news of social injustice, oppression, poor, the needy, when those things hit us, may it move our hearts. May it cause us to weep for our nation, to cry out, to pray for our nation rather. May it cause us to do something. May we not have hearts of stone, but hearts of flesh, hearts that would really be moved just as Jesus was moved. Now as I end this, let me end this with a quote from Faithy Santiago. This was taken from Ignite 2015 conference. This is talking about the same story when Jesus saw the crowds. It says there, Jesus looked at people with compassion because he knew their condition and it moved him to do something, even dying for them. When Jesus saw the crowds, he knew what they needed. He knew exactly what their condition was and he was willing to do what it took to meet their needs. Because he was so compassionate towards them, even if it meant dying on the cross for them. That's the kind of God we worship. And may we also follow in the footsteps of Jesus. May we also be compassionate ourselves.